You know, as we were singing that last song, I didn't know it was on the list this morning. And when I came in this morning, I just cranked it up. It came up on my list of songs, and I listened to it probably 10 times. And about how all my life he's been faithful. I didn't even know him, and he was faithful to me. Man, I just started to weep and to cry. You know, when I was being an idiot, he was still faithful. When I was lost in my sins and trespasses, he still loved me. And he was preparing a bride for me down in Biloxi because he knew my name probably didn't get that far. And then gave us all of our beautiful children. He's been faithful always. You'll have what you say. Amen? You'll have what you say. And I want to encourage you. We sang and said that he's always been faithful, and I love you, Lord. How many sang, I love you, Lord? Right. So if we love the Lord, then what's the action that goes with loving the Lord? Doing whatever he asks. Oh, no. Pastor, you ain't catching me on that one. Oh, no, I know what's coming next. Right, because if you love him, then to obey him is to be in love with him. Amen? Right, because there's men and women in here. Some of you men are supposed to be preaching the word of God. Mm-hmm. I knew it'd get quiet. But I'm not in trouble, so I don't care. Some are supposed to be preaching the word. If you're in love with him, then it's doing what he called you to do. If you're in love with him, you're not blaming me. Blame Trish for the announcements, not me. But you can't blame me. You see, when you're in love with the Lord, I'm in love with the Lord. And I want to do whatever he asked me to do. I haven't done it all. But I know there's more coming. I know there's more that God has for me, right? We've been talking about building a bridge. And there was a pastor that came up. I haven't really talked for much in a couple of years because there was some friction. How many know iron sharpens iron? That's right. And you know what? We don't have a relationship, we said last week, till we disagree. Tell your neighbor, say, I disagree with you. Tell your other neighbor, I disagree with you too. Good. Now we can start to build relationships. But he came up, him and his bride, and sat with me and my wife, and God started to build another bridge. That's what he does. Amen? I'm not interested in how many things went wrong in your life. Can you stop majoring on what went wrong? And can we major on what he did right? Amen. Right? How much of your life is spent speaking about what happened to you? He said we're to speak about what happened to him. That's what the world needs to hear. Amen. Nobody gets set free hearing about my woes, my woos, and my boo-hoos. I don't need people to say, oh, brother, I feel so bad for you. Why? All my life, he has been faithful. Yeah. Right? And every morning I hear that same word. Mercy! Fills my house, my heart, my life, and my plan for the day. Every day, that's what he's got for you. What are you agreeing with in the morning? Amen. Like my bride said, she started carrying something this morning. That wasn't hers to carry. She was supposed to carry the presence of God into a place that everyone could enter into his worship with. But I want to encourage you. If we're in love with him, then we're going to obey him. And if we're going to obey him, we're going to preach him and him alone. Amen? You know, the starting point of every leader, tell your neighbor, say, I'm a leader. The starting point of every leader is desire. You have your desires. You see, because what you desire, you speak about, and what you speak about, you'll have. Some people have a lot. Some people have less. Depends on what they spoke. That's what it comes down to. Some people have never gone on a mission trip. Some people have gone on 30 mission trips. It's what they spoke, right? You'll have what you say according to the word of God. But leadership always starts with desire. And everybody can see what your desire is. Just look at your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what your desire is. Because what you desire, you talk about. What you desire, you do. What you desire, you give effort to. Amen? Everybody knows what your desire is. You can't hide it from anybody. That's why we try to make it look good, right? We put that face on, we go in public, and everybody knows. Because it's easy to see desire, isn't there? It sounds echoey, Sean. Is it me? No? Okay. It's not just me. 15% of people ever meet expectations. 15% of people meet their expectations. 2% exceed them. We need to be the 2%. This whole church needs to be the 2% that exceeds the expectations that you had of how God could use you to change people's lives. That's got to be the expectation, amen? We've got to exceed it. But if you don't have an expectation to change somebody's life, and you guys watching too, all right? Because we need to set the bar high, right? We've watched the movies and stuff. Whenever they lower the bar, the children reach that bar. You set the bar high, the kids reach that bar. In America, oh, don't make them work till they're, you know, just let them be kids. Don't discipline them. Heaven forbid you discipline them. Don't tell them what sex they are. Just let them be kids. They're sons and daughters of God. And that's what we'll tell them they are. And then we'll tell them according to the word of God what they're supposed to be. And then we'll teach them how to act in public and at home. It's amazing how they act good in public when you train them right in home. Seems like at home it's a fight all the time, isn't it? Yeah, they're just like you. And then they go to somebody else's house, come back. Oh, your children are wonderful. Good thing for them. But this is what we've got to set the bar high. Can we set the bar high for us too? It's easy to look at someone else and see where their bar is. Can we set it a little bit higher? Can God do something through you? Can he do all things through you? Is there anything impossible for you? Right. So when we start to agree with that, we start to raise the bar. But the church has lowered the bar. Oh, be careful. Don't offend the world. Bah, humbug. The word of God is going to offend the world. You preach the truth that there is one God and one way to the Father, Jesus Christ. And there is only two in the entire world and the universe. There is a male and a female. You stand on them. One kid at the Catholic school got arrested for saying there's male and female at a Catholic school. Yeah, he got arrested, thrown out of school. I love that kid. I want to hang out with that kid right there. That boy is going to go places. That's all I can tell you. Because he doesn't care what man thinks. But you see, if we lower the bar and you try to be a friend of the world, the love of the Father isn't in you. It's that simple. We got to raise the bar. We're not here to offend. We're here to love the lost, but to tell them the truth. Because true love is telling them the truth. True love is not enabling them. True love is not hanging out with them and never telling them the truth. That's not love. True love is telling them the truth in the midst of them gnashing their teeth. I'd rather have them gnash their teeth at me than for all of eternity. Because one of the two is going to happen. You need to hang out with people that are on fire. You'll be changed just by proximity. Amen? How many want to hang out with? Well, you're just like me. Neither one of us are going anywhere. Great. You hear me? You ever see a firebrand? You ever have one of them? Or watch it? They stick that poker in the fire. Have a brand. Let me tell you something. They pull that out of the fire. Everywhere that thing goes gives off heat. And anything touched by that fire brand is changed forever. You see, when we walk in a certain way, when we walk according to the desire of the word of God, we walk in the passion that God has given us and the love affair that he has laid on top of us and he has filled us with, everyone around us starts to change. Listen, I want to hang out with men that have gone farther than I have. I want to learn from them now because I don't want to waste no more time. I don't want to waste any more time. How many know we've all wasted some time? We've all wasted a lot of words too. But I believe that as God's building bridges, I was reading the longest bridge over water, or sea bridge, I guess they called it, is the one in China. And it's funny how they set out to build this bridge. And by the time they were done, they were $10 billion over budget. They were close. Missed it by that much. $10 billion over budget. And people look at it and say, look at the price of that bridge. I want you to know there's another bridge that's more valuable than that. Amen? I want you to know also there's no success without action. If we come here and we sit every Sunday and that's the only action we have in Christ, you'll never succeed. I'll never succeed if all I do is preach from behind this pulpit. Doesn't happen. There's got to be more action than what we're doing. And it can't just be about being just a nice person and just taking care of me and mine. This is about reaching out to those that have never heard or those that are hurting. But there is no success without action. And as we look at the building bridges in our lives, just a question that you can ask yourself, I'll just look down. What bridge did you build this week? Did you build anything this week? I'm still looking down. Do you plan on building anything next week? Right? Because we're going to have action. We're going to have to make a decision to do something. And if you don't do anything, you won't have anything in the kingdom. I've got another. One pastor came last week. I got another pastor coming next week. God's a bridge builder. Been some rubbing that happened years ago. Talked to another pastor. I said, set it up. Set it up. Let's make this thing work. Let's build. Yeah, but there's some opportunity to build. That's what there is. And that's all there is. But it's a decision you got to make. Can I tell you, I like doing things that glorify God no matter what it feels like. Can we get to that point to do what builds the kingdom no matter how it feels? Tell your neighbor, say, your feelings are overrated. We said a couple of weeks ago that God created the heavens and the earth and created Adam and Eve, right? And he came down into the garden. That was the first bridge. And then we said after the fall of man, God set up the tabernacle in the wilderness, which meant he wanted a tabernacle with his people. He wanted to spend time with you and me. Tell your neighbor, say he's talking about you. God wants to spend time with you. That's his whole purpose in creating us. He didn't create us to watch us sit down here and flop and flounder around like a bunch of fish on dry land. He created us so that he could empower each one of us to represent him on the earth so that many other people's lives would be changed, transformed, and they'd be swept into the kingdom of God. He created us for himself. I wasn't created for my wife. I was created for my God. My wife is an extra bonus. Some of you guys need to say it out loud. My wife is an extra bonus. Right? My children, those are bonuses beyond. And then my grandchildren, forget about it, way beyond. Some of them came over yesterday. We rode the go-kart. One of them said, Pa, I like to go easy. All right. Wasn't me. We got out on the road, and she took that gas pedal and said, Whoom, down the road we went. I said, hey, you said to go easy. That's all I got was a big grin. The blessings of God maketh rich. Amen. Titus 1:2, God promised before the beginning of time, right? God's promises towards you were from before the beginning of time. The promises that he made over your life, he said before time began. That's a pretty heavy-duty promise, isn't it? How did he know what you were going to need? Well, he's a good God. And he knew what you were going to need to walk through in victory. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. We're going to read right down through the chapter. It says, where's my glasses? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh. Tell your neighbor, say, once. All right. We all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just say it out loud, in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Say it again. Right. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created what? In Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you once were far off and have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. That is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of what? Of God in the Spirit. And so, as we read in verse 13, it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Here's God's bridge. This is the bridge that's a never-ending bridge. It's all done. We have the Old Testament. We have 400 years of silence, and then God starts to build the bridge, and that bridge is completed, and I guarantee you is worth more than $20 billion like the Chinese bridge. That blood was going to break every... So yeah, I don't know if they're saved. Every one of us should be in Christ, right? Because that's the beginning of our relationship, isn't it? God, before the world was formed, right, prepared the sacrifice, the scripture says. He prepared Jesus before the world was created. God already had that set in place, ready to be experienced in the world long before the world was formed. And then when Adam fell, he said, the seed of the woman will bruise your head, preparing, letting them know there's going to be one that comes and is a great deliverer. And all through the Old Testament, they were wondering who the deliverer and who the prophet was, and the Jewish people are still waiting for the Messiah or the deliverer. Thank God we know his name. Amen? Amen. Thank God he lives on the inside of us. In Christ is a relationship with him. What is true of Christ is true of us. The relationship that Jesus has with the Father is the relationship we have with the Father. The relationship that Jesus has with the Father is the relationship that you have with the Father. There's no difference. Scripture says, as he is, so are we. As he is, so are we. So the relationship that Jesus has with the Father is the same one that we're afforded. Okay? Have we taken advantage of that? Have we agreed that and understood that? You wonder why Jesus sped off when everybody else and pushed him aside and wanted to be with the Father at the nighttime hour because of the intimacy that he enjoyed that the disciples didn't have yet because the sacrifice wasn't offered. But Jesus showed us what happens when you're in love, when you're one. When the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one, he said, look, you guys are wonderful, but I got to get with him because I got to get some wisdom on how to handle you guys. Bible says that Jesus prayed all night and then chose his 12. Amen? What did he do? He was talking to the Father. I don't think they were doing eeny, meeny, miny, mo. I think the Father said, let's get as diverse a group as we can possibly get to express my love on the earth that will completely confound and confuse everybody for all of eternity. Tell your neighbor, say, tag, you're it. How God can work through you is beyond our understanding. How God has been able to work through me is beyond my understanding. How he can take something like this and then use it to build his kingdom is beyond my understanding. And how many times did the disciples feel the same way? Constantly. But what is true of Christ is true of you. You have to get this. You have to get this. Nothing between your soul and your Savior. You have to get this. If we're going to enjoy, God built a bridge and his name was Jesus and he sent the only begotten so that one time, if sin came in through one man, we've got the one that destroyed all sin. And how much more does God want to use us? Jesus only lived 3.5 years in ministry. How long have we been in ministry? And what effect have we had on the earth? How much of an impact have we made in our 30 years? 25, yeah, been about 33 years been doing this. My impact on the world is much less than what Jesus was in 3.5 years. The reason is we've got to get back to what he said, I'm in him and he's in me. Now all things become possible. But you see, our thoughts say, I can't. I'm not him. I'm not her. I can't do that. Yeah, but what about? What about? What about? And sometimes we talk ourselves out of what God's called us to do. How many times has pain caused us to step aside and not step into what God called us to do? How long are we going to hinder him from working through us to the extent that he used his son? Because he said that we are in him, he's in us. Therefore, we are with the Father just like the Son. There's no difference. There's no difference in the Father's eyes. His grace and resources become our experience. Isn't that good news? How many need his grace this morning? Just thinking about how many lies we believed. I need a lot of grace just for that. Where when I've stepped back instead of stepped in. Right? How many times somebody you get asked to do something in the church or out, whatever, and say, hey, I need you to step up and do this. Who do you think you are? I'm not doing that. Or, I can't. And we're afraid to do something that brings glory to God. Can we stop being afraid? To bring him glory and honor? Do you think for a moment that if he asks us to do something, he's not going to make a way? Do you think for a moment that if you honor him, he's not going to reward us? Right? That's what he does. He rewards us no different than we reward one another. He is in us. The riches of his mercy are yours and mine. I think about getting close to God, right? He came down, walked with Adam in the cool of the day, the tabernacle, going behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat. The priest sat there in the presence of God. The temple was filled with smoke so he couldn't see God because no man can see the face of God and live. And then we have Jesus that comes down, God incarnate, and lives among us. And I want you to know, he wants to get closer to you. Now, let me rephrase that. He wants you to get closer to him. Because he said he sticks closer than a brother. You'll never have anybody closer than him in your life. Remember when Paul, when he was Saul, and they were standing there, and they were stoning Stephen, right? Stephen, the first martyr. Stephen was a deacon. If you're a deacon here, but Stephen standing there, they're throwing stones at Stephen, the first martyr, and Saul is holding the garments, and he's approving of this. He's a part of this. But isn't it funny what the scripture says? Why? Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? You see, because you're in him and he's in you. Amen? So if someone touches you, they're touching him. When they were stoning Stephen, he said, why are you stoning me? You see, because Jesus associates with you as his. We need to start to learn to associate as us as his. So that no matter where I go, see, that's why we can't badmouth one another. Forgive me, Trish. We can't bet, because if I badmouth Darren Dusso, I'm badmouthing Jesus. Because him and Jesus are one, amen? Right, that's why the Bible says he doesn't want any of that junk in the church. Tell your neighbor, say, then you better shut your mouth. Listen, everybody here has done it. Don't you be looking at me like that, Brad. Everyone in this room has done it at some time or another. God wants to rid that from his house. Because if we attack one another, we're attacking him. That's what he said. Why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting Stephen? He didn't say, why are you throwing rocks at Stephen? He said, why are you persecuting me? God wants to get us to a place in such an intimate relationship that when we look at one another, when we're so intimate with him, it's easy to love one another. Tell your neighbor, say, you're easy to love. Tell your other neighbor, yep. Because can I tell you, they are easy to love when we're in love with God. They're hard to love when I expect them to satisfy me, please me, or do what I tell them to do. When I expect them to fulfill me, then they're difficult to love. But when I'm in love with him, when I'm in him and he's in me, the two of us are one, then it's easy to love you. But it's difficult to love one another when I'm looking for something from you. All I have need of, his hand has supplied. All I have need of, that blood has taken care of. The thing that separated me from the one who is and was and is to come. Was and is to come. The very thing that separated me from them has been washed away. Nothing's lacking in your life right now. Therefore, now you know that God is what? Love. God is love. God is love. His word says it. God is what? Love. So if he's in you and you're in him, then it's easy to love one another. Amen. Why do we make it so difficult? Because we don't read. Because we don't spend time in prayer. And we don't get filled up with him. Therefore, we want something from someone else. Jesus ran off with the Father and spent time with him. When he spent time with the Father, he had lots to give us. When you spend time with the Father, when I spend time with the Father, we have something to give. You know what you're like when you don't get in the word in prayer. You're miserable to be around. So am I. It's easy after a couple of days to find out whether or not we've been in prayer and in the word. Because the words of our mouth and the confessions that we have start to change. But when we're in the word and we proclaim what his word says, everything starts to grow and become expanded. You see, us and the Father were intertwined. You are intertwined with him. We cannot lay a hold of one another. We cannot speak evil of one another. How miserable is it when your kids go at each other? Right? They're going back and forth. And you're like, can you just stop? Well, it's what you and mom do. We got to take some heat for this, fellas and ladies. But we watch them go at it, and it just breaks our heart. That was my toy. Like, just give the toy. But they've had it for half an hour. Well, then share the toy. We have easy solutions, but they don't want to hear it because the only thought they have is what pleases me. That's where we get into trouble. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please the King of Glory. You're not here to please me. You're here to serve the King of Glory. I'm here to serve the King of Glory. And in that, loving one another. Amen? Union, communion, and fellowship with Jesus. And communion means drinking of the same cup. That's what we used to do, right, in church? Before we got whatever. Everybody came up and drank out of the same cup. Right? For years. And then they said, oh my goodness, that's terrible. That's disgusting. You have no idea what kind of germs. Do you know there is not one case ever recorded of anyone getting sick when everybody drank out of the same cup doing communion? Isn't that amazing? Not one. And the younger ones are like, I'd never do that. That's disgusting. That's gross. But this isn't about us. This is about him. And this is about drinking from the same cup that he drank from. And so therefore, when we're going to drink, we're going to be misunderstood. We're going to be lied about. But when I'm in him and he's in me, then I go before the Father in the throne room. And when I get filled up with his love and his mercy and his grace, then that's all I have to pour out. Because I know that those that are attacking me are one day going to serve him. That's got to be the thought we have, amen? I want them gnashing their teeth at me rather than for all of eternity. And have an opportunity. John 15, 10 and 11, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So if we refuse to walk in joy, what commandments are we obeying? If you're not walking in joy, what commandments are you obeying? What thoughts are we obeying? What confessions are we obeying? What are we putting our eyes on that cause us to get distracted or disgruntled? You see, because if we obey his commandments, well, I'm not going to be jealous. I'm not going to covet. Right, Gavin? We've been studying that, the Ten Commandments, as it relates to Hebrews. I'm not going to covet my neighbor's wife or his cattle. Right, G? Right, or anything else he has. I don't want what you have because I've got all things that pertain to life and godliness for myself. And my God meets all my needs according to his riches in glory. Therefore, what you have, I want to thank God for because I know you're going to use it for the expansion of the kingdom. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, the Bible says that she just touched the hem of his garment. No matter how soft a touch we have towards God, he notices. No matter how slight of a moment that you spend with him, he notices. The slightest touch. He is so in tune with you. He is so in tune with me. His love is so extraordinary for each one of us that all she did was touch the hem of his garment in a huge crowd. And he said, I know somebody wants me. Somebody's looking for me. Someone touched me. Obviously, power went out from him. But just that soft touch. See, it's not about you running in and diving into his arms, although he loves that. But sometimes all you're able to do is just reach up and touch it. I want you to know he notices your soft touch. He notices every tear that drops from our eyes. He notices the cry of your heart when you say, oh God, I don't know what to do. He said, I heard that cry. I know that voice. I know the need. The slightest touch. He built that bridge so even the slightest touch, he would notice and turn around and welcome us in. So many people stand out and they don't even want to knock on the door to enter. They want to take like pieces of grass and just brush up against the door, hoping that God will hear them because of what they've done. That's not your God. His desire for sending Christ was to have a relationship. He built a bridge so that you would be made whole, so that you could go and lead others across that same bridge into a right relationship with him, because he said it's his desire that how many perish? None perish. When we go to him, he always notices, and his mercy, as we sang, is running after you. His mercy is running after you this morning. We did the funeral for Miss Pearl. Thursday. Thursday, sorry. Worship team, come on up. We did the funeral for Miss Pearl last Thursday. And Al, he took me to this Al Collins. It was his mom. And Catherine's mom, of course. And Kathleen's grandmother, of course. Yes. Because I said, you know, I talked about the grandsons and I forgot about the granddaughters at the funeral. So I washed her feet. I repented, right, Kathleen? I was on my knees wiping off her feet. So, but Al said, listen, can you do me a favor? Because he didn't want to speak at it. He said, can you please tell them all they have to do is believe? Tell them, they might know, but they've got to believe. Tell everybody here, you just have to believe what his word says of how madly in love God is with you. Please, he said, Pastor, just tell them they have to believe. And isn't that the answer for everything we're going through and everything you need for tomorrow? John Piper said that hour by hour abiding in Jesus means hour by hour trusting him to meet all our needs and to be all our treasure. See, you will only walk or live to the level of your confession. That's it. He said, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. And we are ever welcome into the throne room. He said, come unto me, how many? All. What a contrast from the Old Testament, right? A priest once a year. Nadab and Abihu, remember them? They tried to go in on their own accord and they were killed. How about the king that went in? Leprosy. Lived in a house all isolated by himself because he tried to go in and do it his way. Because he was the king. I want you to know there's one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be than the name of Jesus Christ. There's one way to the Father. Everybody else preaching all that other stuff. There's one way to the Father according to the word of God. And I'm standing on that. And I'm not moving. No matter what. Prayer is the living word on the lips of faith. We know when we're in love with the Lord. And we know who's in love with the Lord because they want to spend time in prayer with him. Would we rather spend time with you than him? No. I'd rather spend time with him so I have something to pour out to you. I'd rather spend time with him so that everybody in your family gets changed. Prayer is that word of faith on each one of our lips. And I want you to know right now this morning, we're going to sing that song again. You're near enough right now. You're near enough right now. When you breathe in the very presence of God. That's where we're at right now. You don't have to do something else. You don't have to try a little bit harder this morning. You are so near that when you breathe in the presence of God. That's how near to you He is. That's where He wants you to be. That's why He built the bridge. That's why Jesus Christ came. His mercy has been chasing us every day. What a Father. What a lover of ours. Jesus said the Father loves you the way He loves me. There's no difference. When that is our confession, then that is our freedom. When your confession is, God loves me the way that He loves Jesus, your freedom comes running in. And I believe He wants to set everybody free this morning in a greater way. Stand up this morning. Father, we come this morning, and we're so grateful.
Thank you.
That we got to breathe You in. We agree that because of the blood, we have access into Your throne room. Because of the body that was given, we have freedom from sickness. Because of the plan that You have for each one of our lives, we want to surrender. And because of Your love towards us, we're able to love others. Father, this morning, we agree that because of Jesus, our lives are changed forever. You had a plan before the beginning of time. Your plan is being lived out through us. Let our lips proclaim faith, love, mercy, grace, strength, and healing to all we come in contact with. Let us not hold back, Lord, no matter who they are, where they come from, what they look like, or how many times we've expressed it before. Let us not be caught up in the foolishness of this world. Let us not chase after the objects that the world is running after. But Father, this morning I pray that we would walk out of here free to sing of Your goodness, to shout Your mercy from the rooftops, to allow grace for everyone You send into our lives to be able to live through us. And Father, that Your Holy Spirit would fill each and every one here this morning. A fresh anointing this morning, Lord. A fresh infilling this morning. Lord, as each one stands, knowing that according to Your word, that just like Jesus was in You and You were in Him, You're in us and we are in You. Nothing lacking in our lives. Let us love those that You send our way. Bless them, build them, strengthen them, encourage them. And Father, I pray that we would dream bigger than we ever have before. For as we said earlier on, let our desire be You above all else. For when we desire You above all else, the world will know who our God is. And it's our desire that You be known. For when Your name is lifted up, You said You would draw all men unto Yourself. This day, we honor You. We rest in You. We thank You for our freedom in the name of Jesus and through the power of that blood. And Lord, we rejoice in an amazing life You have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.